we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning. I pray that you are having a great day. This is Bob Arthurs from Merritt Assembly of God. You are tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM and the Refresh Radio broadcast. And we want to say thank you today to Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284. If you need somebody to come out and take a look at your air conditioning unit to get it up and running, you know, there's a lot of different things that can go wrong. And you need somebody who knows exactly what's going on to be able to fix it. Some of the air conditioning issues that I know that Bill Andriak has diagnosed, he's diagnosed leaks on the outside part of the unit. He's diagnosed leaks on the inside part of the unit. He's diagnosed problems with wires, capacitors, evaporators, compressors, units that need to be changed so that they would be more economical and wouldn't cost so much money. And so I encourage you to call Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, and have Bill come, if you're in the central part of the county, have him come take a look at your unit. He's installed the split system units, and he's recommended those to us for some situations that we need to deal with in the future. And so if you want an expert opinion, give Bill Andriak a call, 321-759-3284. Want to take this one last opportunity to invite you out this weekend to Merritt Assembly of God, 10:30 in the morning. Duke Matlock is going to be sharing the word with us. We're going to be having a volunteer worker orientation on Sunday night at 6:30, and so we're looking forward to that. But before I get too far into the program, I do want to take a moment and say happy birthday to a very special person in my life. It's a busy week for kids in the Arthurs household. We had birthday Wednesday, birthday Friday. We had birthday in the church on Tuesday, birthday in the church on Thursday. Anniversaries on Friday or on Saturday. It's just a really busy time, and it's a time of the season where there's so much celebrating, it's hard on my waistline, but we'll do our best to stay on mission where that goes. So if you will turn with me, we are talking today about the fruit of the Spirit, which is peace. And as I was on my way into the radio station, I was thinking of some of the misconceptions that people have about peace and, tranquility, absence of conflict. And so there are some people who refuse to contend for anything. And I want to contrast that with the preceding passage in Galatians chapter 5. Where it says the flesh lusts or wars against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another. The result is that you do not do the things that you wish. The implication there is that the things of the spirit are warring against the flesh. And so when we're talking about peace, it is talking about our relationship with God, our integrity with God, and that we contend, we fight for the right things. You see, I've got a man in our church. He served in Vietnam. He had a very good friend. He said this man was just a wonderful believer, and he talked about how he had perfect peace about going to war because he knew it was the right thing to do. But he said, I don't believe that I'm going to be coming home. And there was nothing at that point in time to to lead him to believe that. They weren't in combat at that time, but he just had a peace about him that his time of being promoted to eternity was very near at hand. And he said, I don't have a problem dying for my country. He knew that he was at peace, even though he was in combat. You and I, we have the peace of the Holy Spirit. That means we're at peace with God. That's where the real peace lies. And so if I can, today I want to share with you from the Old Testament a story. There's a couple of declarations of peace during this story, but I want to talk to you about some things that threaten peace. Some things that are found in this passage that threaten peace. Now, I'm not going to read the whole chapter because I don't want to bore you with all of the extra stuff that I don't have time to, you know, I'm not going to be touching on that. Not that the Word of God is boring, but I'm not going to be touching on things. I want to share things that I'm going to be relating. And so if I can get you to turn to 2 Samuel 25, or we're going to look at this passage of Scripture. If you can't get there today, then, you know, just write it down and you can listen to it later. Let me begin in verse number 2. Now, there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel, and the man was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. The name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. She was a woman of good understanding and beautiful appearance, but the man was harsh and evil in his doings. He was of the house of Caleb. When David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep, David sent 10 young men, and David said to the young men, "Go up to Carmel, go to Nabal, and greet him in my name, and thus you shall say to him who lives in prosperity, 'Peace be to you, peace to your house, and peace to all that you have.' Now I have heard that you have shearers. Your shepherds were with us, and we did not hurt them, nor was there anything missing from them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we come on a feast day. Please give whatever comes to your hand to your servants and to your son David." So when David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all these words in the name of David, and waited. Then Nabal answered David's servants and said, "Who is David and who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants nowadays who break away each one from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed for my shearers and give it to men when I do not know where they are from?" So David's young men turned on their heels, went back, and they came and told him all these words. Then David said to his men, "Every man gird on his sword." So every man girded on his sword, and David also girded on his sword, and about 400 men went with David, and 200 stayed with the supplies. Now one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Look, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he reviled them. But the men were very good to us, and we were not hurt, nor did we miss anything, as long as we accompanied them when we were in the fields. They were a wall to us both night and day. By night and day, all the time we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore, no one consider what you will do, for harm is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a scoundrel that one cannot speak to him." Okay, and then Abigail goes through preparations, and she makes an emergency trip, gathers up all sorts of belongings, and she takes those off to David. Drop down to verse number 23. "Now when Abigail saw David, she dismounted quickly from the donkey, fell on her face before David, and bowed down to the ground. So she fell at his feet and said, 'On me, my Lord, on me let this iniquity be. And please let your maidservant speak in your ears and hear the words of your maidservant. Please let not my Lord regard this scoundrel Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men of my Lord whom you sent. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, since the Lord has held you back from coming to bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hand, Now then, let your enemies and those who seek harm for my lord be as Nabal. And now this present which your maidservant has brought to my lord, let it be given to the young men who follow my lord. Please forgive the trespass of your maidservant. For the Lord will certainly make for my lord an enduring house, because my lord fights the battles of the Lord, and evil is not found in you throughout your days. Yet a man has risen to pursue you and seek your life, but the life of my lord shall be bound in the bundle of the bundle of the living with the Lord your God, and the lives of your enemies he shall sling out as from the pocket of a sling. And it shall come to pass when the Lord has done for my lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you, and has appointed you ruler over Israel, that this will be no grief to you, nor offense of heart to my lord, either that you have shed blood without cause, or that my lord has avenged himself when the Lord has dealt well with my lord, then remember your maidservant. Then David said to Abigail, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me, and blessed is your advice, and blessed are you, because you have kept me this day from coming to bloodshed and from avenging myself with my own hand. For indeed, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has kept me back from hurting you, unless you had hurried and come to meet me, surely by morning light no males would have been left to Nabal. Then David received from her hand what she had brought to him and said to her, go up in peace to your house. See, I have heeded your voice and respected your person. So, first of all, let's begin this story at the beginning. David had been a blessing to Nabal and to Nabal's shepherds. They did not have fences per se, the way that you might have on a large fence. And so when they were taking their flocks from grazing area to grazing area, people had to protect them. There were people who would steal sheep or lambs. There were predators that would come and try and feast on the flocks. And so David and his men served as a security force for Nabal, and he suffered no loss. Okay. And so the first thing that I want to share with you today, that if you and I are going to manifest the fruit of peace, is that we need to be a blessing to those around us. Be a blessing to those around us. That's the first thing. Then David finds himself in a situation where he is in need. He ends up in the neighborhood where Nabal lives. And so he sends messengers to announce and declare peace upon Nabal, whose name means folly or fool, and to pronounce a blessing of peace. Now, I want you to hear this. Peace be to you, peace to your house, and peace to all that you have. Now, remember, this is talking not just about absence of conflict. This is not just talking about training. It's talking about wholeness in every area of his life. Nabal obviously knew who he was because he calls him the son of Jesse. Everybody in Israel had pretty much heard about David because of what he had done from Goliath. He knew that there was a strained relationship between there and his master Saul. So Nabal knew who David was. He said, I don't know where you come from. I don't know who you are. I don't know who your father is, you know, even though he calls him by name. And Nabal begins to make excuses that are going to disqualify him personally and endanger everyone and everything he has, because all he is concerned about is, when it comes to dealing with other people, is how can they benefit me and in at the same hand not cost me anything? How can other people be a blessing to me and I not have to reciprocate? I want you to know that that is contrary to the gospel. The gospel is about how can I be a blessing to other people. And the Bible specifically says that we should focus on being a blessing to other people in such a manner that we know that if we do not get our reward here on earth, we're going to get our reward in heaven. And so that's Nabal begins to disqualify himself immediately because he's self-centered. He lacks wisdom. A lack of wisdom will threaten your ability to manifest spiritual peace. I mean, he was prosperous. He had lots of sheep and lots of goats. This man was not lacking anything, and yet he refused to be a blessing. Okay, so he operates in folly. It goes on to say in verse number 3 that the man was harsh, and that will threaten your peace. If you deal with everyone in a harsh manner, the measure you use is the measure that is going to be used back upon you. I want to exude mercy. Mercy is my primary gifting. And sometimes it doesn't pay back the dividends that I would like. I'll just put it out there. I understand where David was coming from here. I operate from the perspective of how can I be a blessing to as many people as I can be. And I can tell you I've encountered my share of Nabals. Let's just leave it at that, shall we? People, if you look to people to be the source of your reward, you are going to be sadly disappointed. But God intervened so that David's peace would not be threatened. And so there is this proclamation of peace. Nabal, because he was used to dealing with people harshly, missed out on the blessing of peace that could have been his. Money will not give you peace. I'll just tell you that. Money will not give you peace. Only God can manifest the peace. And it says he was evil in his doings. In other words, he did not treat people well. He treated them badly. Evil is a moral condition. It is not just an action. It speaks to the root problem. The reason that you do things is because you do them from a position of evil, a condition of your heart that is evil. I'm not a sinner because I sin. I sin because I'm a sinner. And so Nabal's already working pretty hard on disqualifying himself. So he's harsh. Everything that he does is evil. And then you get into the situation where he is self-centered. And then it goes on to listen, this is one of his employees. This is how he is described. For he is such a scoundrel that no one can speak to him. He is such a scoundrel, that's in verse number 17, for he is such a scoundrel that no one can speak to him. Okay? And so Nabal's peace, this potential for peace that would have been added. I mean, David was going to be king. David was going to be king. What an ally to have on your side for David, because David demonstrated through Mephibosheth, which we talked about recently, that he remembered what he was supposed to remember. He remembered his covenant with Jonathan, and so he treated Jonathan's son well, even though there wasn't a natural reason to. There was a covenant, a spiritual reason to, and David would have remembered how Nabal had blessed him, and yet Nabal had positioned himself to where he was unteachable. Okay? One of the definitions that is used of Nabal as a scoundrel is that he will not listen to anyone. He was unteachable. When you're unteachable, you can just kiss your peace goodbye, because things are changing so rapidly that you are going to be obsolete. we are going to be obsolete if we don't change. There were things that I used to do by hand that I no longer do by hand. I now have a computer. When I first got a computer, I said, why do people always complain about how slow a computer is when it is so fast to the way that it used to? While we were at General Counsel, we have electronic voting devices. You register them. They're assigned a number, or I was assigned a number. You logged into your device, and then you started voting. We had only rented those instruments. We don't buy them because the technology changes so rapidly that you wouldn't get any long-term benefit from that. But we only rented them for one day. And the second day of voting, when we needed the devices again, we had to go back to counting ballots by hand. And let me tell you, it was a much, much slower process. And so we need to constantly be ready to be teachable and to change and to grow. And it goes on and it says, please let not my Lord regard this scoundrel Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, as folly is with him. And like I said, so anytime you and I live our life under the banner of foolishness, we're going to deprive ourselves of peace. Wisdom brings peace. Folly disqualifies you from it. Okay? And I will tell you this. Nabal was blessed with a phenomenal wife. Abigail is one of my favorite characters in the Old Testament. And she was proactive. I want to say something about this servant of Nabal, because he identified a problem. And he realized that the threat was not just to Nabal, but it was going to threaten the entire community. And so I want to ask you that if you are brought awareness to a problem, I want you to look at it from a situation and say, how can I remedy this situation in such a way that there are not mass casualties, if you will, that there is not undue suffering? If you become aware of a problem, find out what the solution can be. For this servant, it was going to Abigail, Nabal's wife, and said, look, your husband has not behaved wisely. He's behaved foolishly. He's not listening to people. He's unteachable. He treats people harshly, and everything he does is focused around himself. Abigail identifies the problem that or agrees with the assessment of this young servant, and she goes to David and she says, David, please accept this offering. If you need to assign blame, assign it to me. But here's what I don't want you to do. There are two more things that can threaten you. And that is, first of all, don't go around with unjust blood on your hands. Don't go around trying to avenge yourself. You know, there are a lot of people who are quick to stab people in the back, you know, when it comes to work. There are people who are saying, well, nobody's going to treat me that way. And I just want to point you to the cross. You know, I know that you deserve what you tolerate. I've heard that premise. But I also know this, that Abigail commended and praised David and received the blessing of peace upon herself, everything that they owned, because she challenged David and said, don't take this to heart. Don't take it to heart and don't avenge yourself. I want to remind you, the Bible says that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. David did not have to take care of this situation. God dealt with it himself. But too many of us, we allow the hurts, you know. I mean, if we skip a meal, it's not worth killing somebody over. I think I can get an amen over that, you know. If somebody treats you bad at work, it's something that's only going to be temporary. I just want to encourage you. Don't take everything to heart. Allow God. Say, God, you know what? I deserved better than they treated me, but I'm not looking to them for my reward. I'm not looking to them for my blessing. And instead of lashing out against those who should have treated me better, God, I pray that you bless them. I pray that you would bless them with a teachable heart. I pray that you would bless them with mercy to such an extent that they operate in mercy. I pray, God, that instead of doing things and everybody saying, man, that's a wicked person, that they would say, wow, look at what God has done in that heart and in that life, and that their actions and their behaviors begin to demonstrate. And Abigail does one more thing. And she reminds David of his destiny. Okay, listen to what it says. The Lord fights the battles of my Lord, and evil is not found in you throughout your days. The life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord has done for my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you, and has appointed you ruler over Israel. See there, they knew who David was. That this will be no grief to you, nor offense of heart to my Lord, either that you have shed blood without cause, or that my Lord has avenged himself. But when the Lord has dealt well with my Lord, then remember your servant. You don't want to take things to heart, and you don't want to lose sight of the big picture that God has. You see, the devil will try every way that he can to disqualify you from the peace that is your inheritance in Christ. He will try and ruin your testimony. If he can't do it through other people, then he will try and get you to act in such a manner that you will compromise the peace that could be yours. And David says, blessed is the Lord God of Israel. Blessed is your advice, and blessed are you, because you kept me this day from coming to bloodshed and from avenging myself. And he says this to her in verse number 35, go up in peace to your house. See, listen to this. I have heeded your voice. Big difference between David, a man of peace, wholeness, integrity, and Nabal. Nabal wouldn't listen to anybody, and David was able to be spoken to. And he said, and I've respected your person. I pray today that people will treat you well. I pray that you will surround yourself with teachable people, and that you will be teachable. I pray that you will have respect for other people, and that they will have respect for you. But even if they don't let your peace, your inheritance, the promise that God made to you in Galatians chapter 5, don't let that be sacrificed upon your own personal convenience. Say, well, I am going to take this matter into my own hands. You want the peace more than you want revenge. That's a tweetable quote right there. Peace is more valuable than revenge. God bless you. You have a great weekend. Hope to see you Sunday. If not, we will see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Sing to be mad for my king. Nothing, Lord, is hindering the passion in my soul.